Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Radio show. I'm Priscilla Leona, producer and host of this show, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 13 years, we have been providing our audience with entertainment industry career advice. Now, this show is for you if you are questioning your career reality and thinking about pursuing a career in show business, or if you're already working in the entertainment industry and you're just interested in tips on how to elevate your career status. Now, the guests on our show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars. We have working professionals. And I got to bring this up because every time I say this, every week I will get someone that say, oh, you have prostitutes on your show? No, no, we do not. Working professionals, I don't know what shows, I don't know why you asked that question, but working professionals include producers and directors and casting directors, and we have agents and talent managers and screenwriters and PR agents and publicists and actors and comedians, singers, novelists, script supervisors. Love having my male stunt people on, because you know how much a pervert I am when it comes to those stunt men. I love stuntmen. We also have celebrity makeup artists. And around every December, we have an entertainment lawyer. It's very, very important in your career that you have some sort of legal representation. Even if you can just afford that, what's that website, Zoom? Or it's like a legal aid website. But you got to have some sort of guidance. And we try to have an entertainment attorney on every year in December. The list goes on and on. Now, if you missed any of our shows, here are the three ways that you can listen to past shows. Number one, you can download the free mobile app for LA Talk Radio, of course, on the App Store and the Google Play Store. You can go to our archive page and listen directly from the website. If you're listening to us right now, well, we're there, those little black lines, you can click them and there's all the shows per month. And we've been on since 2008. And the way we list our shows is by not only the person's name, but their title. So if you're interested in being a script supervisor, it'll say the name of the person, script supervisor. So you can go through and scan and see what profession you're interested in. Also, iTunes, Google Play Store, Stitcher.com, we're under the podcast section. And we kindly ask that you please subscribe to our show via our podcasts, which are on Apple Podcasts. Now, finally, if you want to be booked on our show or refer someone to be a guest to promote themselves, showcase their projects or their products, and just help listeners by providing career advice, just go to, now you got to focus because this is different. You have to go to our official website, which is different from this website. The official website to submit is questionrealityradioshow.com. Again, questionrealityradioshow.com. Not the website that you're listening to us on now, which is obviously latalkradio.com. This is the website where we air the show. Again, if you want to submit, go to questionrealityradioshow.com, and that's also where you can see our annual guest schedule. So you might want to go there and take a peek at who the upcoming guests are and check out their sites. So again, to submit to be booked on the show, go on our website, click the contact link. It's really easy and short. We just need your name, email, and title. Oh, and your social media sites and website. So that's it. There you go. Now, today we are so bummed but happy at the same time. You ever feel like that? Today, our guests are Tim Micah and Brian Gleason. And that's what I'm happy about. But I'm so bummed because our dear friend who's been on the show forever, she comes every couple years, Eileen Gruba, was supposed to be on the show today. However, she is, I think she's up and away. I think she's flying right now, or she landed, but I think it's film project related. I think she got cast a star in something. We'll find out from the boys when we talk to them. But she was supposed to be on the show today, but we have the two guys that are here to discuss their film, Dark Hearts. Now, Dark Hearts is sweeping the circuit, the film festival circuit. It has been nominated for eight. Well, actually, it was seven. I think it's eight now. Eight film festival nominations, and they've already won two awards, which are the Indie Spirit Award and the Mary Austin Award Excellence in Producing a Featurette. And a lot of people don't know what a featurette is. Hopefully one of them can explain that to you. Dark Hearts was directed by Kevin Van Stevenson. The screenplay is by our lovely, gorgeous, sexy Eileen Gruba. And the story is by one of our guests on the show today, Tim Micah. And a couple of the stars are also in it. Eileen Gruba, who is in it, she's starring. And also gentleman on our show, Brian Gleason, who is also on the show today. He plays the character Sean. Now, the film is about how the parents of a missing young girl deal with the aftermath of her disappearance. And basically, after living with the disappearance of their child for a couple months, they just have no choice but to move on with life. And Kelly, who is the character Eileen Gruba plays, she starts seeing ladybugs. Now, who doesn't love a ladybug? And you just don't see them enough. I mean, unless you live out on a farm or in the country, you just don't see them flying around in the city too much. But ladybugs start appearing, and she feels that it's a sign that her daughter is still alive. And her husband is just not so quick to believe. And one clings to the last bit of hope, which she does, and the other is at his wit's end. So both of them are hoping for a miracle the next time the phone rings, as we all would in that situation. So without further ado, let's talk to two of the people involved with this wonderful film, Dark Hearts, and that is Brian Gleason and Tim Micah. Welcome to the show. Wow.
Hello, how are you?
Applause coming from the stadium. You got the stadium applause. I know people think that is, people love that corny little applause thing. And so I get requests. They're like, we didn't hear it this week. We didn't hear it. So there you go. Got your applause. Oh my gosh. Welcome to the show. As I was saying, Eileen Gruba couldn't be joining us today. Is she flying? Oh, I think it was to Arizona. She's shooting a film. I wasn't clear where our little
Yeah, ride. I don't know. I just know she's up in the air going somewhere.
She's up in the air flying right now. Yeah. Well, we love her so much, and she's just, as I said, been a guest on our show for many years, but I haven't seen her since I threw a Grammy party for my friend Amy at Jamie Foxx's house in December of 2019. My friend Amy was nominated for, I think this is her sixth Grammy nomination, so Jamie Foxx has this big sprawling estate, as you can imagine. And so I'm like, oh, we'll have it there. Yeah. But I couldn't even find her, because you know, you can imagine how big Jamie Foxx's house is. So I couldn't find her. And she's like, I'm here. I mean, I'm aware. But that's the last time I've seen her, so it's been way too long. So my question, my first question for you both is, let's talk about how the origin story, how you guys know Eileen Graba. Is Gruba, I always call her Graba. Gruba. Is this the first time all of you have worked together? Let's start with Tim. And then
Brock. This would be the second project that I worked on Eileen with. The first one where we actually met was an independent film called Preacher Six that is produced and starring a gentleman by the name of Kyle Hester. We met on set there. I helped a little bit with the script on that, but I also acted in that. And we became fast friends and stayed in touch after that filming was done. And it wasn't long after, we got done with that filming, maybe a couple of months, that, this idea percolated in my head, that turned into Dark Heart. And I just knew that Eileen was the person to play, Kelly. And, so I sent it to her, and the ball started rolling from there.
Oh, and Brian, how do you know Eileen?
Yeah, I know Eileen from the Actors Studio. I see her at the, I see her at the sessions there. Her and I are members of the studio, and I'd see her at sessions there. I became friendly with her, and I'm wondering. I don't know if we ever worked together. We might have done a reading of a play at one point, but it's been many years, and I. But it was Christmas party, I think 2019. And I bumped into her, hadn't seen her in a long time. And, you know, from there we ended up doing it, I think January of 2020, but you know, she approached me and she said, she thought I would be right for the part. And, you know, it was wonderful to work with her. And, it was a great experience.
So if you were at the Actor Studio, then you must have known, I think Eileen was there with Carmen Argenziano.
Carmen was a lovely man. Yeah, he was wonderful. He was such a kind man, and play at the Hollywood Court Theater, which I don't think exists anymore. It's that big church right there on Highland. And yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, is it a Presbyterian? Yeah, I walked in there one time. Yes, I'm very
Yeah. But Carmen, he's missed. He was well loved, and he was a great soul. And
he was on my show, and I think he loved caramels because he had a whole pocket of it because he offered me one. And then when I finished that one, he's like, "Oh, here, take another." I'm like, "Okay, I'm not going to turn a caramel down." There's also the director, Kevin Van Stevenson. How do you guys all, did you meet him together?
I met him when I showed up on set and we started working. You know, I never met him before.
Okay.
It was just a two-day shoot. We did it pretty quickly.
Got to talk about that. I love two-day shoots. Well, first of all, before we talk about that, let's talk about all these awards you guys are being nominated for and winning. How fabulous is that, right? Was this a reaction that you knew would happen, or was it totally expected? Are you still entering film festivals? We'll start with Tim and then Brian.
Yeah. It's certainly exciting. It is, to me, unexpected, but you know, Eileen had the belief all along that, the film that we put together, was award worthy, and it's proving to be that. I'm not sure how many festivals, the movie has been submitted to, but, we've been accepted to, I think, like around 15 now. The awards we've won. I know we've got three or four that are for best short, along with the ones from Idlewild. It seems to be picking up steam and gaining traction.
Yeah, I totally. Eileen to enter it in. I'm associate with the Burbank International Film Festival. I've been since 8 maybe 8 years now. And I know for sure that Jeff will love to have that in his film festival. So I'm hoping, we're not finished screening yet, but I'm hoping that it's picked for that festival so that I can. I don't even know if we're having like a live. Usually we do it at the AMC Burbank every year, but I don't even know what's going on if they're screening. How are you guys dealing with that? Is everything being done online? Is the film being screened online, or are you actually going to physical places? We'll ask Brian or Tim, whatever.
It's all online. It's up to this point, it's been all online.
Oh, what a bummer, because the film festivals are the most fun to go to, right? That's the party right there. You just want to get to that film festival and then go to the after party. So that's a bummer. Hopefully that ends maybe next year. Hopefully.
We're making headway.
Now, Tim, you're the creator, from what I understand. You're the creator of the story, and Eileen Grubba is a screenwriter. Brian is an actor, as I said. Can you tell us, Tim, how you came up with the story? Is it based on a true story? And if so, what motivated you to want to develop this particular story, Dark Cards?
The original version of the story has Eileen's character as an alcoholic getting in a DWI car crash and their daughter perishing in the crash, and then dealing with her death. And I had an aunt and uncle that a cousin of mine passed away at a very young age. And I got to experience firsthand how they dealt with or didn't deal with her death. And that always stuck with me. And for some reason, a year and a half ago or so, I just got this idea that I wanted to put this to paper. The story of Dark Arts came out. And when I sent it to Eileen first, it was that the child perishes, and we worked back and forth and talked back and forth, and worked on revising the script and the screenplay to make it a missing persons, because we felt it would pull the audience in more, and there would be more of a story to tell. And if we wanted to continue it, we could do that. So it morphed into that. It was based a little bit on the experience that I had with a cousin who had passed away at an early age, and seeing what my aunt and uncle dealt with.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible. I mean, this is the type of movie that, I mean, who isn't moved by this particular story? What has been the overall reviews of this particular film outside of the film circuit? I mean, what are the people saying, how they were particularly affected by this movie? Do you come across people who say that their lives were touched by this particular trauma?
Anybody that I know that has seen it, has told me they've been moved by it. Yeah. That it resonates with them in some way. So it's, the response we hope for from an audience is what we're getting.
That's good. You definitely want to feel like your film is making an impact. It's got to be impactful. It's got to change someone's life. I really feel that it has to touch. Now, Brian, yeah. You played Sean, and you've been in so many films in the past, but did I hear that you are no longer obviously you acted in this film, but am I to understand that you're not acting professionally anymore, and if so, why?
No, that's not what it was. No, what it was is that I hadn't acted for many years. I was away from the work and from the community for many years, and just life stuff came up and got in the way. But you know, I just said, this is something that I feel I'm supposed to do. I put a lot of work into it early on when I was younger. And, you know, it's like, I just had this thing in me that wasn't being used, and, you know, I was being pulled toward back to it again. I just said, you know, I got to get back on the horse and do this again, do the work again. You know, it's, and it wasn't easy, because there's doubt and then there's fear. Can I still do it? You know, and every actor is a little insecure about themselves. So, you know, that's a given, right? But, you know, it was, I you see glimmers, you're like, well, wait, no, I can do this. You know, it's coming back. It's all coming back. But I'm grateful to be doing it again. And it's, you know, it's like any creative art. It's the doing of it. I mean, that's why we do it, the doing of it, you know, and the actor has to work and work and work, and the musician plays his instruments and the writer writes and all that stuff. So you have to be exercising the instrument. So it's a matter of doing it and doing it and one foot in front of the other and, you know, and enjoy it, you know, enjoy that process. So,
Ryan,
so I'm grateful to be doing it again.
Ryan, what do you feel, if you're giving advice to the audience, what do you feel are the biggest obstacles being an actor? Just maybe two or three.
Well, you know, it's funny because I forget who this actor was, an old actor. Said something to the effect like, if anything keeps you from being an actor, let it. So it's a tough life. But I mean, look, it's tough, but you do it because you love it. You do it because you kind of have to do it, and you make a commitment to continue and not give up. And like I say, the satisfaction comes from the work. And I mean, if you're in it for any other reason other than the work, well, you're in store for a rude awakening, right? So if you know, for anyone who's young, honestly, like, as I get older, I realize there's so much I don't know. So it's like, I feel like, God, I don't have the answers. But, you know, follow your heart, you know, work on living a humble life and be kind to people and do your best, you know. And if there's something in you that needs to be expressed, needs to be seen, you know, you got something to say, and follow your heart. Go for it. Go for it. Don't give up. Don't give up.
Now, Tim, what events in your life played the greatest role shaping your career? Because obviously, I think this is the first screenplay. So what events in your life played the greatest role shaping your career to get you to this point?
You know, I let some of the things that Brian was just talking about, self-doubt, creep in early on in my life. And I've had a great career. I'm a high school history teacher. I've been doing it for 22 years. I was a football coach for 15 years. I did a lot of things, and I impacted a lot of students' lives, but there was always something in the back of my mind that I wanted to do, and it was right. And it goes all the way back to, Mrs. Clark, my seventh grade English teacher. We had, a writing workshop that we did all year in her class, and I loved it then, and I never lost the passion for it, but I just, kind of like Brian said, you know, life gets in the way of things sometimes, and I had responsibilities and took the more traditional path to things, but there was, about 5 or 6 years ago, I just said, you know, now or never, I want to write, just go and do it, just try, you know, and so I did. I had my first novel published 3 years ago, and I'm working on a follow-up to it.
What's the name of it and what's it about?
My novel the name is Prey, and it's a supernatural thriller. It deals with a lot of demons and mystical beings, and it's kind of a whole earth-shattering story with a family secret that it comes to light, and they're tasked with protecting humanity, and it's a really big, kind of wide sweeping. I like to say that it's a summer blockbuster in book form. You know, you could it's a take it to the beach and read it in a day, and you know, you're not gonna be able to put it down.
Oh my gosh, those are my favorite. Oh, I mean, I watch Supernatural, Legacies. I just watch that. I love anything Supernatural. I just think such an exciting genre. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, hopefully this is turned into a screenplay one day.
That's the hope. That's the hope. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the book led me into Preacher 6 because Kyle Hester and I talked about my book, and we became friends, and then it turned into me working on Preacher 6, and then it, you know, just everything snowballed from there.
That was an indie film, right? That's where you met Eileen, right?
And Carmen was in that too, so I did get to know Carmen. He is such, like Brian said, an amazing soul, amazing man.
Oh, I love that man. Now, Dark Hearts was your first foray into screenwriting. People often say, how do you just become a screenwriter? Because it's a genre which you really have, in order to write a really good screenplay, you really should have some sort of a basic education. You can't just pick it up and say, you know, John this did that. There's a structure, a format. How did you approach that? I mean, there's even screenwriting software who aren't in the business don't know about. So
right Final Draft, you know, there's different things that are out there. I have a friend who was out in LA for a few years as a working actor and had written a few things. I tapped into people that I knew, just looked online at sample scripts. And I've always been a huge fan of movies and television. And like I said, known I've always wanted to write. So I just kind of, you know, self-taught and knew the format that it needed to be in. So wrote it as best I could in that format. And then relied on the kindness of Eileen to, you know, not just laugh at me when I send her the script, but instead she took it and put it into one of those into one of those programs, and we started working on it from there. So I guess I had done a good enough job. But yeah, it's really it was just self-taught and going after it, knowing that it's something that I really wanted to do.
Now, I love how you're talking about things being self-taught. So how do you know, what would you recommend that a person who is following the same path that you are, which is the self-taught path, because it costs a lot of money to make a film, even if you're making like the cheapest thing. Now things have happened where you can make a movie on your phone these days. I mean, you can do it, right? Yeah. But you still do need some sort of an income. So you really, in order for anything to be a success, you got to have a good screenplay. I mean, you can have the best actors in the world, and we've seen that. If the screenplay is not good, sorry, the actors don't have anything to work with. So how do you know, with you being a beginning screenwriter, how do you know if it's has potential to be good? Do you take, obviously you don't do a market research group or research that costs money. What do you do? Do you say, because, you know, if you go to your family and friends are like, hey, can you take a look at this script? They're going to say, oh, it's fabulous. It's wonderful. You're the best. Woo. But, you know, come on now. You can't make a living with people sugarcoating it. What do you recommend doing?
I recommend, you know, if you can get involved in any kind of a writer's workshop, take any kind of, you know, courses you can. I know there's things that are offered online. You know, just there's a lot of things that you can get involved in that way. I'm lucky enough that I have a couple of friends who, and colleagues that had things published and had worked on some screenplays before, and they were, you know, very brutally honest with me when I was writing things, you know, Dark Hearts to start with. And to be quite honest, when I sent it to Eileen, I didn't know what to expect. I knew it was a good story. I knew from writing my novel that I can write strong characters. Whether or not I knew those characters came across in a screenplay as well as they did in my novel, that was up for debate. And so it turns out it was enough to hold Eileen's interest and want to work on the story and expand it. And, you know, that part was lucky. Just, you know, knowing Eileen, you know, the other part of it is, you know, Brian talked about it. Work. It's the dirtiest four letter word in the English language. And, you know, people, you know, hate to say it, but it's just do the work.
Yeah. Now, Brian, did you find anything particularly challenging when you were playing this character? What did you find the most challenging about the process? It could be the character.
Well, the first thing that was challenging is that I hadn't been in a film in 8 years. But I mean, I did my homework, and it's like I have, you know, done a lot of work, so it's like that's inside of me. So I did the homework on the script, and there was, you know, made my choices, and there was a lot of things in that story that I could identify with. You know, I haven't lost a child, not a parent, and I haven't lost a child, but there's other stuff in it that, you know, I could identify with. And so much of, you know, what we watch on screen or on a play or what we read, it's like universal themes, you know, everyone can identify with it. So there were some personal connections there. And it was okay, great. I got a lot of stuff to work with here. This is great. It's going to be a challenge. And, you know, I just went for it. So it's, you know, it's weird watching yourself, you know, I mean, I'm sure everyone can identify with that, but you look at moments that happen, like, oh, I'd do this differently. I would have done that, you know, but it was rewarding. And you get to like, go to these places, you know, that stir you up, that are thrilling, that are scary, you know, it was a wonderful experience. And working with Eileen, you know, she always gave me a lot, and we felt really, we trusted one another. And, you know, we just, there's stuff would happen that, you know, wasn't in the script, and we just went with it. It was wonderful.
Right. You brought up a really good point, which I want to expand on. You talk about how coming back, and this, a lot of audience members relate to that. They start out acting, and then for some reason they have to diverge and pay a bill. They got to pay a damn bill, so they got to take a day job, right? So sometimes you just get sucked in, you get stuck in the web, and you just don't come back. But some people are like, you know, I got to come back. All right, so my question to you is, for people that are thinking of doing that, they got the acting bug again, what do you feel is the kryptonite of a person coming back after so many years? And how?
Well, I think it's the committee in your head that's telling you can't do it. You know, it's the doubt, it's the fear, and it'll stop if you believe it, you know, and you believe that to be true, well, you know, then you're not going to do it. So it's just, don't listen to whatever your head's telling you. You just do it, you know, and I'm learning that, you know, in life, you know, but I shouldn't say for anyone else, this has just been my experience. This is just what I know. But the only thing that would stop me, or that attempted to stop me, was myself. So I say, okay, well, you know, thanks for sharing, go away. And I just keep on moving forward. And when I can work, I work, you know. And because of COVID, you know, the studio's been, you know, shut down. So, you know, we can't do work there. And it's a wonderful place to be a part of, because it's a place where,
you know, actors, professional actors can go and continue to do their work and grow as actors, you know, and it's a safe place. And, you know, it's kind of a crazy place, but it's cool. I'm grateful I'm a part of it. So you get to go there. You get to go there and get up and work. I mean, that's, like I said earlier, the actor, you got to be doing it, you know, you got to be doing it and you got to be in front of people doing it. So that can be challenging, right? Because a musician has his instruments and whatever, you know, a writer can write, but you got to be in front of people doing the work. So I would say just go for it and do your best and don't listen to any type of doubt that, you know, that thing inside of our heads can give us sometimes. Don't buy into that. Don't believe it.
Absolutely.
That's like the best advice I got.
Yeah. Tim, what is, for you or in general, do you feel, what is the most difficult part of the artistic process, whether it could be like as a screenwriter, actor, anything? What do you feel it is?
Getting started. Just being able to start, because once you start, you can push yourself to keep going. Like I said, you know, it took me a long time to get over the idea, you know, that I wanted to write, but who am I to think I could write? A lot of the same thing, like, you know, like Brian said, you just got to do it. You just have to do it.
And what did this film Dark Hearts, what do you feel that success, what does success look like through your eyes for this film? I mean, obviously you're still entering festivals, you won a couple awards, but what do you feel like you really want maximum realistically?
To me, this has already been a success, being, like you said before, my first time as a screenwriter, to have it actually put to film, to see the amazing job that Brian and Eileen did bringing those characters to life. You know, it was such a thrill for me to just to see somebody, you know, saying lines that I wrote. That was, you know, personally, as far as the film goes, we'd love to see it garner even more success and more steam and get, you know, more awards and more festivals. And really the end, I think the end game for us, Eileen and I have been working on expanding this into Dark Hearts into a miniseries that we would love to get on Netflix or Hulu or HBO or you know, one of the streaming services. And we have that, you know, we have that plotted out and we're starting to work on scripts. So that's the end result where we would love to see it is become a miniseries and focusing on the mom's relentlessness on trying to find her daughter and her belief that she's still alive.
I like that. What do you, well, okay, Tim. All right. As a first-time screenwriter, if you had, for this particular film, Dark Hearts, if you had to do it all over again, what would you change, if anything, about the process? It could be, oh, you know, we should have gotten investors. It could be, oh, you know, I should have written it more with this skew. You know, what would you recommend, like, if you had to do it all over again? To a very first-time screenwriter like yourself, what should they do to prepare? What should they look forward to? Something.
You know what? I think I only did a few passes at the screenplay. I think I would have edited more and looked at it more to flesh things out and had it a little bit stronger before I turned it over to Eileen. Because we did spend several months going back and forth, once we changed the story, scope and the ending really, and going through those changes. But I would have taken some more passes at it as, you know, self-editing, because I'll go through, you know, a chapter in a novel, you know, my novel that I'm writing, I might, you know, have like four or five or six versions of that chapter as I edit, as I go along. So it's probably that.
That's a good question. I'm complimenting my own question and I'm about to ask. Well, it's because your answer has caused me to come up with a question that I think will be good for the audience. This is obviously not necessarily the same. I don't know how you and Eileen work together. I would assume it was through email, maybe Zoom, but we're in a whole new world now. So what advice do you have for people who are first-time screenwriters and maybe the person that they're working with is in another state? And to cut down on what you said, to kind of abbreviate the process, what can you do? Do you do more Zoom meetings? What do you do to make it a more seamless process?
I think that the easiest thing to do is, use something like Google Docs that's file sharing, where we could be talking to each other on the phone and editing the document live, at the same time. We're both working on it. We both see the same thing and talking about it. It's really like, you can get to the point where you feel like you're in the same room with the person and you're bouncing ideas off each other and doing it that way. That is pretty seamless. And like you said, it's a whole new world. And you can do that from anywhere, So knowing that I can be here in New York and Eileen can be in LA and aside from the time difference, I might be keeping her up late or she's keeping me up late that's about the only thing that's, being able to find the time where you can work on that together. You can really make it like, so you're in the same room.
This is going to seem crazy because you're a first screenwriter, but I've heard point get writer's block.
Not with this, because I had once Eileen gave me the idea that, hey, let's take this from the child perishing to a missing persons, there were so many other ideas that popped into my head that I had new pages to her, almost instantly. But it has happened to me in writing my follow-up novel. And that's a tough thing to get through. It's just, but again,
What do you recommend? What do? Get a cocktail? What's happening? That's my way.
You can stare at something for too long and then it starts to feel like you're not going to get anywhere. You are stuck somewhere. It's too much, work, but walk away from a little while and then go back. But, always write something, whether it's 100 words or it's a page or it's 2 pages or it's, however long. At least get something on the page. You feel a little bit sense of accomplishment, and that keeps pushing you forward.
Good answer. Brian, a lot of people are a little confused about whether or not they should continue to pursue acting. They do, then they don't, and then they do, and then they don't. And I guess a good question, they always ask, how do I know if I really want to do this as a career? And I have come up with my own little question for them. And my question is, does acting energize you or exhaust you? That pretty much should give you an answer. That's my answer to them. What do you feel would be a good question for someone to ask themselves if they're like, I want to be an actor. No, I want to make money. No, I want to be an actor. What would be the question that you come up with?
Well, I think they would already inside of themselves know. Like, they would already have that answer.
Nope.
You know what I mean?
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
That's for, right? For me, yeah, of course it's all those difficulties that come along with it. But like I say, it's when you do it because you got to do the work, so if that is in you, and it's a lifestyle. Like, yeah, you got to come to terms with the fact that, life's going to be different for you. And, it's a commitment. It's like you say, I'm committing to this life and I'm moving forward and I'm not going to stop. And,
you know, I don't know, you might not ever really make any money, but you're getting up here, you're doing plays here and there, you're getting up, you're doing your work. That is a career, you know? Look, Priscilla, that's a tough one, but I the only thing that I can come back to is if there's something in you that needs to be expressed, and I'm sure any type of person that is in creative arts, you know, they can identify with that. They're like, God, there's something in me. I got to get it out. And this is how I get it out. You know, and it's almost like a catharsis to be able to go to these places and tell these stories and to experience these things that, you know, that's the thrilling part about it too, is that like, wow, I get to experience these things, these events as different people that I might not experience in real life, or you get to recreate something in a play or a film, a screenplay that you know something about, you know, that you lived it. So you get to do it in your work. And that in a sense is kind of a catharsis, because you can kind of go through it and have a way of processing and, you know, retrospect and understanding more and then getting that out. And, you know, then the more you work, I think you will just continue to improve. You know, the more you do it, you just got to do it and do it and do it. I think when people have breakthroughs with their work, when they have aha moments and they can feel the growth within themselves, then that, you know, propels them to keep going. But you just, there's a lot of unknowns, and you got to be okay with that. You got to say, okay, well, the hell with it. I'm an actor, I'm a writer, I'm whatever, and this is what I'm going to do, you know? Now, I don't know, maybe it. I'm full of crap. I don't know, but that seems true to me. That seems true to me.
If that's your truth, that's your truth. And that's probably the truth for many, many, many millions of people in the world. Now, we only have a couple more minutes. I wanted to give such credit to whoever, who we don't know, and I feel really, really bad. But that film poster for Dark Hearts was absolutely fabulous. It was so gorgeous. And we want to give props to whoever created that, who Tim Bryant, none of us know. The only one knows I lead, and I swear I didn't see the poster until the last minute, like, to think of that question. But I remember going, God, that's so gorgeous, I gotta remember to ask Eileen, and I forgot, of course. But we don't know who it is, but whoever you are out there, you did a fabulous job with that poster. I might be hiring you to do my films in the future. So I'm gonna remember to ask Eileen that. Okay, so in conclusion, this film Dark Hearts is just, I love the storyline. I love it. I have not seen it yet, but I am so looking forward to actually seeing it. So where, this will be for you, Tim, where, pray tell, can we see Dark Hearts? I think a lot of people don't know that when it's in the film festival circuit, they don't know about the process. So why don't you just take us out with what the process is now. Right now you've started submitting to film festivals. That's the first step. Take us through the process and let people know where they can eventually see it. For example, Amazon, Netflix, where are you, you know, trying to go with the distribution process, et cetera, et cetera.
As far as right now, the featurette, that I know that's something that we wanted to get into. Featurette is a little bit longer than a short film. It's got to be over 15 minutes, but under an hour. So it's not a feature and it's not a short. I would say for people who want to see Dark Hearts, follow all of our social media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and follow the film festivals that we post about and get submitted to. And I know that a lot of those festivals are, they're going to be all online, and they will offer a chance to see the winning films or submitted films. And as far as after the festival season, I don't know. Eileen would be the one to talk to about where it's going to land after the festival circuit goes. But like I said, too, our eventual plan, if it's Amazon or Netflix or Hulu, is a miniseries. So maybe the featurette would end up there as a precursor to that miniseries, and people could see it there. But I guess
I couldn't find a trailer on YouTube, because I always recommend to my listeners, go to YouTube. But I typed in Eileen Gruba. I typed in Dark Hearts. I typed in a whole variety of different words. Is the trailer on YouTube or Vimeo?
It is on Vimeo.
Well, the film is on Vimeo. The film's on there, too.
I think the film is on Vimeo, too. You have to have
it is.
Okay, so are you still at, like, password protected link, because it's still running the festivals?
Yeah, exactly. That's
all right.
Okay.
I take that back.
Yes, take that back. Okay, so
all right, my bad.
I'm going to ask Eileen or somebody to send me the link, because I want to see it ASAP, because I'm very excited by the content. But is there a website? Is there Dark Hearts? I mean, you can go and imdb.com and pull up Dark Hearts, but is there a website, darkhearts.com or Dark Hearts Movie? What's the website address?
I don't believe we have a web address. We're doing everything through social media. So Facebook, everything, Facebook, Twitter, everything is Dark Hearts. If you search that, you'll find us.
Well, you know, we probably want to type Eileen Gruba with that, because I tell you, Facebook, Twitter, I could not find, because Dark Hearts is a very common name. If you go on IMDb, there's like 25 films with the name Dark Hearts, because it's a very good title for a film. So I would suggest to the audience, if you want to find out more, just go to Facebook and type Eileen Gruba, EileenGruba, Eileen Gruba. And I assume she's got everything on there about the show, but she's already done I was looking on IMDb and she's already done like maybe 10 films since Dark Hearts. That girl rocks it out. She is rocking and rolling in her career. Everybody wants Eileen Gruba in their film. So you'll have to scroll down a little bit if you go to imdb.com, but if you type in Dark Hearts, you can find it. But I see from my research that most of the attachment is to her name. So yep. That's where I would go for people who are looking for it, since there is no website. followed on social media. All right. Well, I want to thank you both for being guests on the show, and I wish you so, so much success. And Brian, I want you to get back out there, and I want you to rock steady, my friend.
That's the plan. That's what I'm doing.
You got the movie star looks. You could be playing a doctor on a soap right now. I told my husband, he said, you're not gonna make him your screensaver, are you, again? But I'm like, no, I'm stuck on Harry Styles now. We'll have
I'm not as pretty as Harry Styles. So.
Yeah, who is? There aren't any women as pretty as Harry Styles. Oh my God. He's my obsession. All right, sweetie. Well, do you have any final words? We'll start with Tim and then Brian, to your fans of the movie, who will be fans. They may not have seen it yet, but pretty much I think the synopsis is going to pull them towards your film.
I just want to thank everybody who's out there for their support, and to keep up with all of our social media. There's going to be exciting things coming with the future for Dark Hearts.
Brian?
Okay, yeah. No, I just echo what Tim said. You know, just thank you for the support. And I just hope that, you know, there's something that you get out of it, watching this film. So hopefully that gets through. So that's it.
Yeah, and I want to see you on Blue Bloods, because they shoot, I know you're in Buffalo, but they shoot right in New York or surrounding areas. So I'm expecting at least a Law & Order Special Victims Unit or a Blue Blood, right?
Who, me? Are you talking to me? Are you talking to Brian?
Brian.
No, I'm in L.A. I'm in L.A.
Brian, Tim is in Buffalo. Jesus, I've had my boys confused the whole time. All right. Well, maybe Tim. Hey, you know, I didn't ask you, Tim. Do you you know, you have to give me, you've acted in the past or no?
Just in Preacher
Just
Six.
Just in that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, you keep screenwriting. I'm expecting big things from you, boy. So I'm going to follow your career. Are you both on? I know, Brian, you're not on social media. No, not right now at the moment. How can you probably have a ton of women trying to track you down?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Most men who are not on social media, they're hiding from the ladies. They've never done that. I hear that every week. I'm not on social media. There was that woman in Austin, so I'm laying low for a while.
No.
All right. Well, how can we follow your career? Are you on any social media or just via the dark?
I haven't gotten to that point yet. I mean, I have my IMDb page here with my credits. I'm not even on the IMDb Pro yet. I got to set all this stuff up to be perfectly frank with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I am.
It's just, you know, COVID put a timeout on everything. So,
And what about you, Tim? You're on social media. We can friend you on Facebook.
I'm open on everything. I'm open to be friends with everybody.
Especially the ladies, right?
Especially the ladies. Okay, so
wife wouldn't be too happy about that.
So Tim's name is spelled T-I-M-M-A-J-K-A. Look for Tim on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm going to go there now and friend you. I hope you accept me as your friend.
Absolutely.
All right, sweeties. All right, so Dark Hearts is the film. Please follow the boys and Eileen Gruba. We wish you were here, and we will talk to you in the future. Say goodbye to your fans, boys.
All right. Take care, guys. Stay safe.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona right here on LA Talk Radio.